Secondly, though, is the question of grace. And the subject of grace, or the way in which grace flows, and God, we're speaking of the grace of God being given to the church, grace means you can have apostles. One of the objections in the modern era, and in fact for a lot of centuries, with respect to the idea of having apostles, was simply the thought that none of us could possibly be an apostle. You know, an apostle seemed in the more modern mind to be such a lofty person with huge authority and so, you know, walking in such perfection in the Word of God and so on. So, you know, who would dare compare themselves to the Apostle Paul or Peter or John? But what was long forgotten was that Peter and Paul and John and all of the other apostles were very ordinary men. They were not supermen. They didn't come from Mars. They were not angels suddenly turned into men. They weren't robots automatically doing things. No, they were men who lived in human bodies, had to learn, had to grow, had to overcome things within themselves, had weaknesses, made mistakes. The only thing in which we consider their words inerrant is when they wrote Holy Scripture, inbreathed by the Holy Spirit, which nobody today purports to do, or they're in error. No apostles today are going to write Holy Scripture. Outside of that, these were ordinary men, totally yielded to Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, and tested and proven over a long period of time to have their character molded so that they were more and more useful to the Lord, could more properly represent His nature, His character, fully understand the gospel, and were driven by one motive only, and will come in a moment to their goals and their main purpose. The kind of grace that was given to those men to be apostles is still available today. Grace is grace. If grace could produce an apostle then, grace can produce one now. In the same way that grace back then could cause people to be born again and the church to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, grace does the same thing today. It is no different. I'm going to show you a few texts in which Paul speaks of the grace that was given to him. And Paul himself says he was the least of all, but grace was given to him. And this really is the explanation as to how apostles, now it takes time, but how ordinary people can be transformed to be the servants of Christ. Yes, it requires humility, it requires surrender, there's a lot of sacrifice, and it's a process that takes time, but grace makes it possible. Here's Romans 1:5, for example. Paul says, through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Notice the grace that's given to give them an apostleship has a purpose. They were to call the Gentiles and they were to do it for his name's sake. It is for his name's sake that the church must be given apostles, because the church cannot become what it's meant to be without this kind of leadership provided. Here Paul again in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation. By what? By the grace God has given me. I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. And then, even more pointed, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace to me, he says, was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. This grace we still have today. And where the Lord calls someone to be an apostle, grace can make them an apostle as long as there is this yielding and humility and surrender. Grace can proceed and establish a person. Now, the place of apostles in the church, we're still talking about the grace that was given to apostles. The grace is not just given to apostles. The grace is actually given to the church. The church needs apostles, so God provides them. And it is for the sake of the church that these gifts are given. I could say the same thing about pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets. Of course, the same principle applies, but our subject is apostles. It's a gift to the church. And by design, by the design of God, apostles are given first place. But what does first place mean? Just a quick comment on it. But first of all, see the scripture. This is 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 28. It reads, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, that is, in the body, first of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then, miracles. Then, gifts of healing, of helps, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues, and so on." This is not an exhaustive list. It's a sampling of the things he places in the body, by all of them by grace. All of them are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Notice Paul only numbers the first three. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Why? These are the designated leadership roles that have a very important authority in the government and leadership of the church. That's why after that he stops numbering. But he says first apostles. And it's long been recognized that the apostolic role is the role that carries a far greater authority for the instruction of the church, the correction of the church. And it's a governmental role, not only over church life, but over the fivefold ministry. More about that a little bit later. But when the Lord says first place, he says it through the apostle here by the Holy Spirit, but first place gets another mention. Because if it was only mentioned here, some people would use this to think they were the big dog on the porch, you know, had to be obeyed, could lord it over everybody. This is not what's implied. If you go back to a much earlier mention of this idea of first, we get it on the lips of Jesus, who said to his 12, "If any of you wants to be first, he must be servant of all." So the apostle is a very servant-hearted role. Now they'll lead, they have authority, they have power, they have a governmental responsibility more than anyone in the church, but they do all this with a huge grace. It is the heart of a father, it is the love of a mother, it's huge gentleness, and yet at the same time, it has in it the authority of Christ, but it is a servant heart. The real apostle, the true apostle, approaches everything he does as if he's there to serve and help all other people. Serve leaders, serve the churches.